The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to talk about a new movie? Check. Want to talk about an older movie similar or related to that new movie?
Check.
That's what you can expect from Quality Check Podcast.
It's a new podcast on the Studio DNA Network, hosted by yours truly, Drew Douglas and
Daniel Posey. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about a new movie and an old movie to see how the film's quality holds up.
What Else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
I've got a double whammy for you today. American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story, out on Blu-ray and DVD and streaming platforms. I'll chat with John Irwin, one of the directors of the film. But first, let's have a conversation with Super Bowl champion, NFL Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner himself.
Football. Tell me about that.
As long as I have a ball in my hands, I feel alive. Kind of like how I feel right now.
I'm staying here. I got work to do.
Work? The NFL's not going to draft some dude from the 1AA school in Iowa.
There were other offers.
I called every team in the NFL. No one's interested.
Can I get one of your applications?
I promised that I would take care of you and the kids. So that is exactly what I'm going to do.
If this is your dream, don't give up on it.
Football.
Yeah, they didn't pick me.
I pick you.
I pick you too.
Kurt Warner. You got the whole package, kid. And the world just needs more time to see it.
He came up with this whole arena concept.
Arena football.
It's like a circus.
People love the circus.
I like the circus.
You pay me per touchdown?
I also pay you to win.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Hey, Kurt.
We've been trying to reach you.
I'm sorry, who are you?
I'm with the Rams.
This guy's old. Slow as molasses. He's beneath the standard of this franchise.
That's what people said about me when I came here.
All those years gave you something others didn't have. Made you ready for this moment.
Kurt Warner out of the Arena League. It's one of those stories that's too good for the movies. The perfect
guy here. He was bagging groceries 5 years ago.
You go out there and you show the world what I've known all along. You were born for this.
This is my time. I know who I am, and I know why I'm here.
I'm at Disney World with my wife and daughter, and we are on the bridge of the race cars. And, you know, you're looking at everybody. You're watching people race their cars. And I see an attractive woman and a child with her in a car, and I'm like, oh, wow, she looks familiar. Then I see the car behind her, and I say, wait a minute, That's Kurt Warner driving a go-kart. I had a moment of, my gosh, he really did go to Disney World, and he is a human being, and he likes go-karts like normal human beings. The best thing I could say in that moment was, and I literally said this out loud to you, we caught eyes, and I said, thanks for signing my Wheaties box.
Well, I can't say that I remember that moment, but I am definitely a normal guy that loves go-karts. We love Disney World. Ever since I was a part of that commercial after the Super Bowl '99, we've gone on a yearly basis. Actually, we do a trip down there with our foundation every single year. So I'm sure that was that during that time when we were on one of those special trips that we do. And you know, my son, who actually is a big part of the movie, is probably why we were in the go-karts, because he loves to drive anything and everything, and those go-karts give him an opportunity to get in and do what he's always dreamed of doing.
My second Kurt Warner story is I'm telling my son about this movie, American Underdog, that's coming out. You were before his time. He's 15 years old. And he nicely said, who's playing him? And I said, Shazam and Rogue from X-Men.
There you go. Any way to get him there. You know, I've been telling my kids for years I'm a superhero, and now I'm played by one in a movie. So I feel like I can live up to that billing that I've given my kids over the years. But yeah, I think that is the cool thing, is that, you know, people may go to the movie for different reasons, you know, may want to go and see Shazam in his next movie. And I think there's something that, you know, 15-year-old kids up to 50-year-old men to, you know, any demographic can enjoy about this movie. And that's been kind of the neatest thing as we put it together and shared the stories that we did, whether it's mine or my wife's or my son's, that everybody that's you know, stepped into the audience has been impacted by something. And that, to me, tells you you've made a pretty good movie.
In your opinion, American Underdog, did they get it right?
They did get it right. You know, but what you have to understand about, you know, any movie, and especially, you know, one based on real life, is that it's still just a snapshot. You know, it's not everything. And, you know, that was hard for me to take in early on, because you have so much you want to get in there, and you're like, oh, we got to have this person in it, you got to have that person in it, we have to have this scene. And eventually you start to realize, as things get kind of on the cutting floor, you have to shape the movie that you want to make. And I believe the movie that we made is definitely right. It was the right movie, and it's got the right messages, and the story is true to what really, really happened. But it's not the whole story. It's not everything. And so some people may see, and God, they didn't get it right because this wasn't in there or that wasn't in there that they know was a part of my journey. But you only get so much time, and you only get so much opportunity to share the right story. And I believe at this particular time with where our country is, I do believe American Underdog got it right.
Let's talk about cutting room floor. If you could choose one thing that didn't make the movie that you wish they either had time for or you could tell that story, is there one thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing was I would love to see we had shot some scenes with my dad, who, you know, my parents were divorced at a young age. I was raised in a single-parent home by my mom. But my dad was, you know, relevant in my life for so long. And unbelievable dad, unbelievable grandfather, but that aspect and that kind of storyline didn't make the movie. So my dad is really not even in the movie. And so if there was one thing that I would change, is I would, you know, be able to place some of those scenes that we had with my dad into the movie, you know, and give him kind of his moment, which again is one of the hardest things, is when you have to cut out instrumental people in your life because they don't fit the story that you're trying to tell.
When was it the hardest time to be Kurt Warner, the pro football player?
You know, I think that the hardest times were always the times that you had to balance the fame with the family. You know, going out to dinner with your family and, you know, people coming over and asking for autographs or asking for pictures. And being able to balance the two of knowing, hey, you know, my kids are my priority and I'm out here and want to focus on them. But this is also maybe the only interaction I will ever have with these people that are coming over. And, you know, and being able to balance that, I think, was always the hardest thing, because I don't know what the right answer was in every situation. I'm sure there were times that fans left disappointed, and I'm sure there were times that my family was disappointed. in how I dealt with those situations. And so it was just, you know, every moment was different and every situation was different. And you try to navigate it the best that you can to make sure you're doing right by everybody and by the position that you've been given. But it's a difficult thing because you don't know what that right balance is, and you don't know, you know, what the right thing to do in every situation is, because you're thrust into this and you're trying to figure it out as you go.
Kurt, was there somebody back in the day in the league that you could lean on or ask for advice?
You know, I mean, I think there was always guys in the locker room that you could lean on, you know, that you could ask, that had been there before or had been there longer than you had. You know, a big part of it was watching. You would watch guys and how they went about practice or how they would deal with the fans, or when you guys went out in public, what they would do and what that reaction would look like, what they would do with their kids, how big a part of, you know, everything did they make their kids. So you could lean on those guys, you could talk to those guys, and then there was plenty of people that were outside the locker room that were maybe separate from it a little bit, that, you know, that you would lean on and that, you know, were confidants of yours to, you know, to kind of talk them through situations you're dealing with and, you know, how they would feel from the other side. So I was very fortunate that I had some really good people along the way, both teammates and some mentors outside of that I could lean on and, you know, and maybe not everybody, or maybe there wasn't anybody that could, you know, fully grasp where I was in a particular moment. But I feel like between all of those people, they did a great job of helping me navigate. So I could do it the way that I wanted to do it the right way and feel like I was doing, you know, the best that I could for everybody involved.
When I saw American Underdog, Kurt, I, for a good 20 minutes, couldn't get over the fact that how well Zachary Levi looked like you at that age, because I got to see you play in real time, and I thought they completely nailed the casting. I watched a few interviews with you and him as the movie was starting to roll out, and it seems like a genuine friendship blossomed between you two.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, we talk all the time. We text all the time now. And it was. I think we're very similar human beings. And that's kind of one of the coolest things as we were going through this process, is that without a doubt, he looked like me. You know, there were even times that we would shoot scenes from the movie and my kids would even go, "Oh my gosh, Dad, I thought that was actually you sitting in." So there's no doubt there was the physical likeness. But who we were from a character standpoint and a value standpoint was very, very similar. And so as we got to know each other and spend more and more time together on the set, that genuine friendship did blossom. And it was fun to know that the person playing you believes in the same things that you believe in and carries themselves in a similar way to the way you carried yourself. And so what was being done on the screen, I knew was true to the essence of who I was, but just as importantly, true to the essence of who Zachary Levi was. And so we've become really, really good friends, and it's been fun to know that this journey that, you know, ends in a movie didn't just end on the big screen, that we've got an opportunity to develop that friendship, you know, for years to come.
The movie's American Underdog, available now on Blu-ray, which is awesome to say out loud. Two more questions for you, Kurt. A big takeaway for me from this movie is patience and the waiting. And we are an I want it now being. Can you talk a little bit about what you learned in the waiting?
Well, I think, you know, what you just said is that learning in the waiting was the most important thing. Because as you said, too often when we're in that waiting period, we're always looking, you know, for the next thing. And we don't get a chance to fully sit in those moments and realize, okay, why am I here? And what can I learn now that will ultimately help me when I'm not in the stage of waiting? So when I was on the bench in college and I'm waiting for my opportunity to play, you know, it would have been so easy just to vent and complain and think that I was, you know, better than the guy in front of me and blame the coaches and do all of that. Yet it was in that time where I got some unbelievable advice about, you know, how I showed up for work every day and how I practiced on a daily basis and the impact that that had on my coaches and my teammates. So I was able to learn in the waiting. You know, the same thing happened when I was in the grocery stores. I didn't want to be there. You know, I couldn't, you know, the faster I could have got out of there, the better for me. But it was a place that I found myself, and I had to be there at that particular moment. So I could have just gone through the motions, or in that period of time, I learned this idea of being excellent, that even though people might not see it, even though I'm in a place that I don't want to be, I'm going to be great at what I do. I'm going to be the best at what I do. And I developed a mindset in that time of waiting that would ultimately pay dividends for me later on. So I would say that to me is the biggest thing, is while you're in those periods of waiting and you're in those places you don't want to be, use that to your benefit. Make sure that you're learning and growing in those moments. So when you get that opportunity, when it comes, you are ready to seize it and take advantage of it, because you haven't been just stagnant, you know, hoping for the next opportunity. You've been working your way towards being a better person, being a better player, being better at whatever profession it is that you're chasing.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Final question. What's Kurt Warner doing now? What's taking up your time these days?
Well, I mean, I still got 7 kids, so they take up a lot of time as they grow and kind of venture out. I got a couple boys that are going to be playing college football, one that's been playing, one that will be playing again next year, so I'm chasing them around a lot. I've got a couple grandkids that take a lot of my time, trying to, you know, make up for that time that I lost with my wife, doing some traveling and, you know, focusing on her. And then outside of that, I got a lot of stuff, personal stuff that I'm doing, whether it's being on TV or calling games on radio, or I've created my own QB website to be able to teach coaches and players. You know, that's just a handful of things that I'm doing, you know, in the game of football still, that keeps me busy and keeps me engaged and allows me to use my expertise and my journey to impact other people. So I'm always, you know, I always feel like I'm young enough that I got to keep doing stuff and that I want to continue to have impact. But at the same time, I'm quote unquote retired, so I can choose the things I want to do, and I can be selective with things and make sure that I have the freedom to make sure that my kids and my family understand the priority that they are to me right now as well.
Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner, and the movie's called American Underdog. I liked it so much, we bought out a theater in South Bend, Indiana. So congratulations.
I love it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. It's on Blu-ray. It's on streaming. Please go watch it. Grab the family. It's one of those great Friday night family movies. Could be one of those great Kurt Warner movies to watch the night before the football season kicks off, huh?
No doubt, yeah. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, before every basketball game, I would watch, you know, scenes from Hoosiers to get me kind of fired up and focused for my game. So I think this movie has has that in its war. You know, any player that's getting ready for the season or finds themselves in one of those places, or even a fan that's just trying to get pumped up about the possibilities for the season. So I think you're onto something there.
My thanks to Kurt Warner for the conversation. And now a chat with John Irwin, one of the directors and producers of the film American Underdog. This is a conversation John and I had just before Christmas, opening day for American Underdog.
What else with Corey Mann? On the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
What's the first project you and your brother ever did together? Do we have to go back to childhood?
Okay, so yeah, we would actually. First of all, we began our careers at the age of 15. I was 15, he was 18. And as cameraman for ESPN, I was on born and raised in Alabama. Someone got sick randomly on a game, and I was interning for a cameraman actually for my church, and he said, get over here right now, just don't tell anyone how old you are, don't tell anybody you've never done this before, and do this football game. And so football was actually how it started for us. And then we went and did videos at a youth camp in Scroon Lake, New York during the summers, and we would try to entertain 500 crazy kids a week who will not lie to you. And it didn't start off so well. Our first films I thought were great. The audience didn't agree. And I remember I was sitting there watching our first one, and they're like, it was like a youth camp video, you know, that we had done with a height camcorder. And they're like, somebody beside me was like, who I had no idea who he was like, is that it? Cause that was terrible. And those words haunt me no matter how far we go. But we got better, and we just kept practicing. My dad bought us a camera when I was 16, 17 years old with money he didn't have. And he just said, dream bold, dream big, dream the impossible, and try to make the audience say, wow. And that's been the quest ever since. And life has afforded us the opportunity to just get, you know, just refine and refine and refine and get better at what we do. But it all started at a football game for the University of Alabama long, long ago.
When you're looking through the camera at that particular game, was that the moment, John, where you're like, I want to do this?
There was that moment, and they paid me. We did not have a lot of money as a family, and they paid me $300, and that was probably the clincher. But I remember being on that camera, and it was like a telescope. It was huge. I'd never seen a camera that big, and it would the lens could zoom into a quarter of the moon. So I was literally on the high end zone camera, high above the stadium, just zooming in and out of the moon. And this homeschooled kid from Birmingham, Alabama, and I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. So yeah, I was instantly hooked. There was no looking back. It was like a kid that joined the circus. I was gone, and it's been a fun ride ever since. But yeah, that was it's fun to have one of those magical moments where you just truly fall in love with something, and that's what happened.
Let's plug away through your resume real quick. Right before you and I chatted, I looked on YouTube. Skillet, the monster video.
Yes.
367 million YouTube views.
First of all, I love John. Yo, so we did sports, and then we started doing music videos and commercials, a lot in Nashville where I live now. And I remember at the time we would write these very long and exhaustive treatments to get the videos, like 5-6 pages of nonsense, like the band looks this way, whatever. And then we had gotten popular. We had won some awards. And so I remember that the treatment that we wrote, we did two videos, Monster and then Hero for Skillet, right back to back in the same week. And for Hero, we wrote, the band is singing at night, things start to blow up, then it starts to rain, then it rains and things blow up, then everything blows up the end. And that was what we did with, so I think Monster was then breaking out of a hospital in some zombie apocalypse. And then Hero was this, we had so much fun. I'm glad none of us died. But yeah, we had so much fun with them. And we did a lot of that type work. And then I went and directed second unit on a faith-based movie just to do the action sequences to that film. And the director, Alex Kendrick, said, you know, John, what's your purpose and the purpose of your work? And I couldn't answer the question. And that was the transition to film, just to use the gifts we had for a higher purpose. Cool. I haven't thought about that video in a long time. That's so cool that it has all those views.
I have you to thank for meeting Sean Astin in South Bend. They had the premiere of Woodlawn here. I nerded out Goonies, Lord of the Rings, Rudy in South Bend. So I just want to say out loud, thank you.
Sean will do the Goonies swear in with you if you ask him.
Ugh.
He won't carry you, you know, like Frodo up Mount Mordor or whatever. I'm not saying I asked him to do that, but he'll do the Goonies swear in, and he's great. And I remember him saying to us one time, you guys with faith-based films are like pioneers and frontiersmen with a few, you know, these other sort of contemporaries. And I said, thanks, Sean. That's such high praise. He said, John, most frontiersmen die on the frontier. You know that, right? And I'm like, well, The trail will be clearly marked. But he's a great friend and a great guy.
Before we talk about what you've got right now happening, I have to say out loud to you, Jesus Music Movie, I could have sat there for another 3 hours, John.
It needs to be a series. That was the hardest part of that documentary. When COVID happened, our films were put on hiatus. A producer that works within for us, Josh Walsh, had this idea because you could only make things with 10 people or less. And so we're like, well, what can we make? Let's make documentaries. We have to make something. And we're not functional enough to not make anything. Like it's and so I have to work. And so we thought, well, no one's ever really told the history of Christian music and just the entrepreneurs that created this new form of music. It was birthed out of the Jesus movement in the 70s, which is something I'm very passionate about. And so Josh's idea, it's out on video now if you haven't seen it. And we made this documentary and interviewed probably 100 people, and every artist, just because this they weren't on tour, bought into it. So it was an incredible roster of artists. They've never really talked about each other's work. And it's this untold story of the history of Christian music. And it's so inspiring. I mean, they literally forged an industry from nothing just because they wanted their music to be heard. And so just as a creator and an entrepreneur, I was so deeply inspired by their story. It started with Amy Grant, Michael W. Smith, and went to Toby Mac, and my goodness, the Cray, Lauren Daigle, all of them came on board, and very grateful that they would share their stories. And it's a fun doc. I'm glad you liked it. And people can purchase it now.
I have an idea for a sequel, and I have the title. I'm just going to give it to you right now. Here it comes. Jesus yep. Music 2.
That's brilliant. I would not have thought of that exact title.
Thank you. Thank you.
But and then, yeah, it could be. You know, I actually think that could be a 10-part series. I think you could.
I agree.
That was the hardest thing, was to try to narrow it. And it almost needs to be a series, you know. So there might be a 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Who knows? There's so many stories to tell.
My big takeaway from American Underdog was determination, perseverance, adversity. What did I miss?
And yeah, and if you do those things, you can win. I think, you know, I think about every movie that we make has to have sort of a mission behind it. And the mission behind American Underdog was just to rekindle the dreams of the audience, for people to watch the movie and say, if they can do it, we can do it. If their crazy dreams are possible, maybe my crazy dreams are possible. And to say, you know, that if you feel like you have a destiny, if you feel like you have a calling in life, if you feel like you have a gift and a purpose, just never, ever give up. You could not have a story of someone further from their dream than Kurt Warner was from his dream. And yet, bagging groceries, and then 5 years later, MVP of the Super Bowl. And so it's just such an inspiring story. It's such a great family story. It's such an inspirational love story. And it is a thesis on the power of faith and just the power of never giving up and just keep going. I think of so many of us with our dreams, you know, who knows if we quit when that epiphany moment is right around the corner. So I wanted to tell it. And it's so cool. It's such a famous story. I can't believe it has not been told before. I can't believe there's not a Kurt Warner movie. I'm so grateful that we got to tell the story. And then I'm so grateful that Lionsgate's putting it out Christmas Day wide. I mean, that's a massive platform for the kind of films that we make. And that's when I go see movies with my family. So the idea that with this year and a half that we've all had, it has just been like an assault on our dreams, you know, and it's so hard to believe in the possibilities of dreams, you know? And so I think it's the right story for the right time. And I just hope that people that see it, I hope families see it together. And I hope they come away inspired because, you know, the tagline of the film is so true. No one wins alone. You know, they won as a family. And that love story is what made Kurt a champion, you know, and they believed in themselves. They had faith in God. They had faith in each other. And they never, never gave up. And eventually they triumphed. So the goal, I think, the moral of the tale is, you know, in due season, you'll reap if you just don't quit, you know, the Bible says, and I hope that's what audiences get from it.
Is Zach Levi as awesome as I have built up in my head that I think he is?
Yes, he's amazing, but he's also so disproportionately talented. It's unfair. It's like he can be a superhero in Shazam. He can be Flynn Rider in Tangled. He can sing and dance on Broadway. I mean, this is just an unfair amount of talent on behalf of men everywhere. He's great in the movie, and he's just a great person. And the whole cast, Anna Paquin's fantastic Academy Award winner, Dennis Quaid, it was so great to be back together with him. He crushes it. You know, we were together on I Can Only Imagine, and one of our producers, Mark, worked with him on The Rookie. And so it's just a wonderful group of people. And Zach is an amazing guy, amazing friend, and he was born to play this role. I just think he does such a great job in the movie.
Who needs to see this movie?
Families everywhere need to see this movie. I think I think this is, I love the ability to entertain, and I love things that bring the family together. So much entertainment rips the family apart. We wanted to make a film that could inspire the entire family. This is a movie for sports fans. This is a movie for everyone that has loved Kurt Warner's story for so long, but it's also just an inspirational love story, an inspirational family story, about a family that won together and held fast to each other, clung to God through it all, and clung to their purpose and their destiny, and could not have won alone. And it's you know, what I hope happens is that over the holidays, starting at Christmas, families everywhere see this movie and they come away thinking, you know, maybe my dreams are possible. Maybe what God has for me or what my destiny could actually come true. And maybe I need to revisit the idea that I can live an extraordinary life. And that's the heart and soul of the movie. And I can't wait for people to see it.
What else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Original music by Jason Roy. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at HereYouAreAZ.com.